Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B family brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Sumaira Ronkowitz of Accurate Box. Sumaira represents the fourth generation of leadership in a company approaching its 83rd year in business. Accurate Box is a respected packaging manufacturer serving the club store and retail markets with high graphic corrugated packaging. Family runs deep at Accurate Box. Sumaira's great-grandfather founded the company in 1944. Her mother currently serves as president and CEO, and her father leads sales and marketing. Sumaira herself is executive vice president and part of a thoughtful leadership transition planned over the next few years. Sumaira's story is about something many listeners wrestle with, growing up around a family company, deciding whether to join it, and preparing to lead it forward. Sumaira, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to be here with you. So let's get into it. Accurate Box is now approaching its ninth decade, which is just amazing. When you look at the company today, what do you think your great-grandfather would recognize immediately if he walked through the doors suddenly?
Absolutely nothing. We are a completely different company today than we were 82 years ago. We actually started off as a folding carton company. My great-grandfather took out a loan from, I believe, a friend to start in the industry, to start in the business. And we were a folding carton company for many years. He passed away, unfortunately, at a pretty young age. And my grandfather had to take over the company, probably younger than he would have, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of the next generation.
Was he involved though, Sumaira? Was your grandfather involved?
Yes.
Okay, he was.
Yeah. So my grandfather got a call from his uncle while he was in college at 20 years old. And was told he had to leave college to come help his father in the business. So wow. Luckily, he did get some years in working together with his father, which he absolutely loved. But he passed away when my grandfather was around 34 years old. So at a young age, my grandfather took over the business and really kind of helped shape, you know, it into what we are today. But in the late 70s, he went over to Europe and saw a different type of process called litho-laminated packaging, which is primarily what we do today. That's the only thing we do today. And he was very intrigued by it because at the time we were only making folding carton, like I said, and we were making a lot of toy boxes. And so he kind of, you know, big toy boxes. And he felt like, okay, this type of high graphic printing on corrugated would be a good choice for the toy industry at the time. And so he was one of the first kind of like pioneers in bringing litho-lam into the United States.
Wow.
And then over the next few decades, we just slowly started buying equipment that focused in the corrugated and dissolved ourselves from folding carton. And probably by the mid 90s to very, very early 2000s, we were completely out of the folding carton industry.
Hmm. Do you, just out of curiosity, do you have any of the old work that that was done around your grandfather or even maybe, you know, around that time? Like, have you saved any of the samples
yes.
or anything like that?
There yeah. is a, there's a few samples that we have saved. There is one where he was the model on the box. And that is,
that is
hung up. It was for Rolodex.
No way.
People listening to this might not even know what it is.
That's awesome.
But yes, he was on the Rolodex box. as the model. And so that is obviously framed and hung up in our room today.
I can only imagine. Like, we need a model for this shoot. I got this.
I got this. I can model and I'll make the box.
As
A
long as
two
we
for
get the
one
boxes,
special.
I'll do whatever you need me to do. That's so cool. Now, you very much grew up around the business. When we spoke earlier, you talked about, climbing on rolls of corrugated when you were playing around the facility on Saturdays. When did things, shift in your mind from this is the place where my parents, my grandfather works, to something that you maybe you felt a little bit more of a deeper connection to?
I always say it's like part of my blood. I grew up listening to everything Accurate Box. My siblings and I used to call it at dinner time, when we would sit around the dinner table and my parents would obviously talk about the business because my dad, like you mentioned, is in sales and marketing. My mom is in operations. So they very much have kind of separate days. So it was only natural when they get home that they talk about their work day. And so we used to call it AccuTalk. And so at a very young age, I was exposed to the business. And we used to come on weekends. They would, they were here counting inventory at the time, and my siblings and I and friends would climb all over the rolls. My safety director, when he would have a heart attack if he heard this today. But it really wasn't until obviously later in my life and career that I felt like I would be a good fit for the company, and that it was something that I wanted to do. I always enjoyed sales and marketing, and when I graduated college, I went in to work at a marketing company for sales, and yeah, it wasn't, it's just kind of always been in me.
So when you were little and you were climbing around the boxes, if you will, was your grandfather still active in the company at that point in time? Okay,
Yes,
so
very much so.
you kind of knew your granddad as the one running Accurate Box for a period of time.
Yes, so
Your early memories.
my
Okay.
mother and father kind of took over the business in she became president in 1997. So I was young at the time, but my grandfather was still very much involved in the business, and actually still is today. He's 96 years old. But he, if you pick up the phone and ask him a question about, what's going on at Accurate, he'd be able to tell you. So he's extremely sharp, and very much still involved, and still a big mentor to, especially my mom, my dad, and myself today.
So you could pick up the phone and call grandpa and
Yeah,
ask the
actually,
question too, if you
I called him before, and he didn't answer. He's probably playing cards or golf. So, he might call me back during this, and I'll have to call him later.
and hopefully in a couple of weeks you can invite him to watch or listen
Yes,
to
that
this
would be nice.
episode. So you mentioned going to work in marketing services before joining the company, and if I understand it correctly, your family kind of required that anyone that wished to work into the family business first go somewhere else for a period of time. Why was that rule in place, and why do you think that was important to your folks?
My parents felt very strongly about having us, and I say us, this option was given to my siblings as well, but I am the only child that chose to join the business. But it was important for us to experience other companies, other management styles, what to do, what not to do in terms of management and leadership style. And I think it was a huge, positive for me. Especially in then when I in joining a business. And I actually worked for two different companies, one where the management style was horrific, and immediately I was like, this is absolutely not for me. And then I worked at a great company that I enjoyed very much so, and saw the different types of management styles. And so that was important to my parents for us to gain outside experience before being able to come into the business.
So talk about that a bit more if you would, Samara. You had one experience where management leadership, okay, not a good model, not a good
No.
representation, and one's like, oh, very good. So very, a rather stark contrast to your two experiences. What do you think So it was important to your parents, and I understand, and a lot of guests on the show, same rule applies where you got to go out before you come back in. What do you think, in addition to being exposed to different leadership styles, that experience gave you once you did come back in?
The truth is, it was like how to treat people, how to talk to people, how to kind of make your voice heard in a room. But I would say the biggest thing was the like the way you treat people. And
Okay.
we have core values that we completely abide by. And one of them is about our people and treating each other with dignity and respect. I was a part of the group many years ago that came up with these core values, and I worked in a in one company where that was certainly not their core value, and then I worked in another one where it was, and the difference, was night and day.
Interesting. So when the inside sales and marketing role at Accurate Box opened, it
Yes.
would seem to be that you'd be well suited, but you took 6 months to decide.
Yes.
So what was the real question you were wrestling with during that span? Like, what were you debating?
If we're being honest, I was 23 years old. I was living in New York City with my friends, and I would have been the first person, in my extended group, that to not work in New York City. And I was wrestling with that. I was wrestling with the fact that, I did think that I would want to join the business. I didn't think it would be at 23, 24 years old. I thought it would be later down the road. But I fear of missing out. I didn't want to miss those happy hours that New York City is so good at. All kidding aside. But I also wanted it to be the right decision for myself and for my family, because I certainly didn't want to join the business too early and then feel like I made a mistake and I actually want to go, do something else. Like I needed it to be, it needed to feel like the right time. And then my parents approached me and told me I was taking too long to make that decision. And that it was a position that they needed to fill, and they were going to fill it if I said, if I didn't come to an agreement. So that's what
Okay.
ultimately sold me.
And that's, that's as I mentioned, a lot of guests on the show, that is kind of the standing rule. But on the other side of that, sometimes, okay, the next generation goes out and works somewhere else, and then maybe they don't want to come back. That's
Right.
happened too, where
Right.
it's like, no, I'm good here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess to the credit of that previous generation, they're essentially saying, well, it's your life, it's your journey, you have the option, right? If you want to go a different path, go that different path. It's okay, but
But I think even if I had said right out from graduating college, like I want to join the business, my parents would say no. Like they would say you need to
oh, go somewhere else.
go somewhere else for a few years first.
Okay. And it sounds like it gave you a lot of really good exposure and a good insight when you stepped in. You were
Definitely.
smart, a little wiser. You'd been exposed to a couple of environments, so
Yeah.
that's great.
Yeah.
So getting back around to Accurate Box, you compete with some of the largest entities, like big companies, WestRock, Graphic Packaging, and other, global players. What do you think, what advantage would you say that the family-owned manufacturer in your category still has in that highly competitive environment where, you're
Yeah.
going up against some Goliaths sometimes?
Yes. So, what sets us apart, in my opinion, is a variety of things. But one of the biggest things is that everything is we have one facility, so everything is under one roof here at Accurate Box, and we can make decisions very quickly. We make all of our own printing plates and cutting dies, all of our own tooling. We bring in on one end of the building big giant rolls of paper, and on the other end of the building we're shipping out boxes. So everything is done here, unlike some of our competitors where they might be printing in one location, in the Midwest and shipping those sheets to a converting facility, you know, somewhere else. Everything is done here, and so it allows us to be flexible. Our logo is the chameleon, because we say we like to adapt to our customers' needs, and obviously flexibility is a huge part of that. We also only make one product line, and that is a big difference between our us and our competitors. The competitors that you just named, they make paper, they make paper plates, they make cups, they make corrugated boxes, they make folding cartons, they make litho-lam. Like, they make a whole slew of products. We make just one. And we are constantly reinvesting in our equipment and in the infrastructure of our building. And they are not. So in the last 10 years, we have invested over $72 million into our business. And so that has allowed us to have the, you know, fastest equipment and technology that's out in the marketplace for our specific product line.
I was going to say, add to, you know, the chameleon, an apt signature for the brand, but also in addition to, you know, adaptability, I would say it sounds like you're geared for tremendous agility and speed.
Yes, you know, we are. So, we also, you know, even though we have this one plant, we are, you know, in New Jersey. New Jersey and the surrounding states are very densely populated. And so there are a lot of trucks that come into this area, you know, with goods, and there's not a lot of manufacturing left in this area. And we take advantage of that. And so we, it's called backhaul rates. And so we take advantage of trucks coming in and leaving empty. And so we, it allows us to be competitive all across the country and truly compete against the big players in our industry.
That's really interesting, because, you know, it's often a constraint, you know, when you have a regionalized facility is, you know, okay, your costs are great, but it's the shipping costs that are not so great sometimes.
Yes. New Jersey is our yeah. little secret, our yeah. best kept secret, like Bruce Springsteen says.
That's right. So bringing it back to the family dynamic for a moment.
Yeah.
So your mother's CEO, your father heads up sales and marketing, and you're stepping into an executive leadership role, or you have stepped in. So you've got three strong voices. You've got your grandfather that's, you know, sometimes looking in when he's not playing cards. And what does healthy decision-making look like amongst the family team, if you will? How does that
feel? So what I will say is my parents and I are unusually close, and are very much on the same page, which of course is helpful. But we also have an extremely, a very talented and very strong leadership team. And so decisions that are made at the company are made as a big group. There, okay. you know, we do not, my parents and I do not sit in a room and make a decision on a piece of equipment like that. We bring in a whole team of people, you know, to make big decisions like that. What my mom did about 8 years ago now is put together an advisory board with some family members on it and some also outside people, either in our industry or mm-hmm. outside of it. And that has been also a huge help. And my mom developed that specifically for me in the event that, you know, maybe there was something that I didn't disagree with them on, and I kind of needed the sounding board or this, you know, this group of people that could kind of help advise me that weren't my parents. But really, it's been wonderful for us. It has, we meet twice a year, and it has kind of kept us, you know, to keep up with our goals, and our leadership team is a part of that as well. So in terms of decision making, decisions are done with our leadership team and others, and then a lot comes out of our advisory board meetings, a lot of to-dos on, you know, what we should and shouldn't be doing.
Cool. And I would, it sounds like your leadership team is made up then of some family members and some non-family members?
So sorry, our advisory board is made up of family members and non-family members. Our leadership team at Accurate Box, the only family members are my parents and I, who I do call my work friends.
Okay, got it, got it. So speaking of your folks, your mom and dad, what's one leadership trait that that they, either one, pick either one, personifies that you say, boy, that's, I absolutely want to, I want to operate that way too. And then on the other side, what's one that maybe from a generational standpoint, you say, well, that one I need to rethink.
I think, you know, my parents are very, they have made the culture here at this company, and my grandfather, by the way, it really did start with him. It is a very family like feel here. Like we are all one big family. We certainly want it to keep it that way. I definitely want to keep it that way, and in that culture and that feeling that our employees have when they're here. But one of the, you know, there, we have a very open door policy. You know, anybody can come and talk to any of us at any point. Mm-hmm. If there's a meeting going on and there is somebody, you know, that is in a certain position, but is interested in just sitting in on a meeting about something that has absolutely nothing to do with their day to day, like, by all means, we love that. And so these are things that I've learned, you know, by being in the business from my family that I wish to continue. Also, you know, if there is any sort of issue or personnel issue, you are not to do it in front of anybody. You know, you bring them behind a closed door. So you have that private conversation. You know, all of these things is kind of what they've instilled in me and I believe in and will continue as I lead the company.
And is there anything that maybe that a trait or something that they do that you think that, well, based on your persona, based on you being the next generation, like, I'm doing that differently? Is there anything that you maybe
no, but one thing I will say is that you know, we have a very work hard, play hard mentality here. There's no doubt that we have stressful days where everybody feels the stress. But even during those stressful meetings or you know, hours, minutes, there is always laughter. Like, we are always laughing. A lot of that is at my father. he's a very easy target. And
oh yeah, pick on the sales and marketing guy. Sure, that's great, right? Always get picked on.
But in term, no, you know, I have really strong mentors, and especially my mom. You know, mm-hmm. It's in our industry, there are not a lot of women, and I have gone to many events with her where sometimes her and I are the only women in the room, and so I've always admired her. Growing up, she was, out of my friends, the only one that really had a big career. And I always respected that and always knew that I wanted that for myself. And now, you know, I have three young kids of my own, and this is my life. This is what my family's legacy that I want to continue.
Awesome. Awesome. So touching back on the culture there, very much open door where anyone can come in and raise an issue, and you basically are very welcoming and encouraging of that type of a free communication culture. Accurate Box is also a union shop.
Yes.
So talk about that dynamic a little bit and what that dynamic has taught you or what you've come to learn about leadership and communication when you're dealing with a union workforce.
Yeah. So we were always a union shop since the day we opened our doors in 1944. So we don't know anything else.
Okay.
We have a union today that we work wonderfully with. They're very much, obviously they are there to support our employees, but they also support us and know that we need to run our company at the end of the day. This goes back to what I had mentioned before about, you're not going to find anybody yelling on the plant floor. Our employees, there's smiles on everybody's faces. I mean, we bring customers in, bring them on a plant tour, and when we come back to the conference room, it is without a doubt the first thing they'll mention to us is like, wow, the amount of smiles and waves that I just received from your workforce is remarkable. And I had mentioned our core values. People is one of our core values, treating each other with dignity and respect, just empowering them to be the best employee that they can be. And that is very important to us.
That's awesome. So I was talking to a packaging colleague not long ago, and he's like, I hate it when I'm at like a cocktail party where there's a mixed group of people, and they ask, what do you do? What industry? And I say, I have to say packaging, because people have no idea sometimes what that even means,
Yes.
What is a misconception that people have about that you think they have about the industry that completely misses the mark, relative to the complexity of what you and the folks at Accurate Box do every day?
So, this is why I love giving plant tours, because I feel like people go into it thinking like, okay, it's just a box, and then they come out of it being like, oh my God, it's a box. So again, we do everything under one roof. So we're sheeting these rolls that we bring in. We're printing, laminating, die cutting, gluing, shipping. The whole thing is done here. And so there's also a lot of precision engineering and science that goes into it. And we are constantly having, we're in New Jersey, so we're dealing with different temperatures and controlling that. And there is so much that goes into making a perfect box. I could spend an hour talking on about that, on its own. But what's great is that, we mainly do food and beverage. So a lot of our boxes are in the club store environment, about 90%. And so if you were to walk through our facility, you would recognize just about every single brand that we are running.
And knowing a bit about that space, if the packaging fails, if a box breaks,
Yes.
at the club store level, when it's probably carrying something in mass, it's not pretty. So
Correct.
there's a lot of, it's not just about aesthetics, it's also
Yes. And
functionality and.
so, I mentioned we come from the folding carton world. So we kind of have that folding carton mentality, and we are basically just today making a kind of a reinforced folding carton. And so that differentiates us from just the brown box corrugated world. Like we are definitely different in the way that we manufacture a box. We also we ship over 300 million boxes a year, and we have a 99.9% quality acceptance rate, which is unheard of in the corrugated industry. It's probably unheard of in many industries, and it's something that we're extremely proud of, and also something that we don't ever want to see drop.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Currently you're bringing back to you in your role. You're now in a planned leadership transition that's going to be taking place over the next few years. So talk a little bit about that journey, about the journey ahead, and also what's been most impactful to you so far, as you're going through that process. And I'm guessing that it's you and your parents, there's been a lot of discussions, I'm sure, possibly even with your grandfather or and perhaps your advisory board as well. But talk a bit about the journey you're on so far and what's been impactful and the road ahead, if you would.
So I would say the biggest thing is taking our time. We have seen over the years a lot of family businesses fail when it gets passed generation to generation too quickly, or the next generation is not ready yet. My grandfather could have written a book on succession planning. I mean, the way he did it was perfection. And over a period of time, and then he really, once he forced my mom to become president, she did not feel ready, and he really wanted her to. He really kind of like stepped back a bit. I mean, he was obviously still a mentor and still involved in the business, but he really stepped back in letting my parents make the decisions. And that doesn't happen often in family-run businesses. It's hard for that generation to completely remove themselves when it's their business that they've either built or started or grown. And so my parents are doing the same thing with me. So I have been at the company for a little over 12 years. I just became the executive vice president last year. And we have a plan in place that I have, I have presented to our advisory board. I have presented to our leadership team about what the next, maybe 2 to 3 years look like, and then what the next 5 years look like.
And as you look at that plan, how do you feel? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you?
No, I feel good. So, what's funny is that, and I think I mentioned this to you in our initial call, is that, initially I had the joke was like, okay, my parents had each other as a counterpart, my mom operations, my dad sales and marketing, and neither of my siblings wanted to join the business. And so I don't have that counterpart. And so it was, okay, who do you want to be, your mom or your dad? And for a while, I really did gravitate towards sales and marketing, and so I chose my dad. And he was obviously thrilled. But over time, and as I'm getting more and more involved in the company, I get excited about being involved in purchasing equipment or looking at other product lines and looking into the future. And my dad wanted nothing to do with that. I mean, he sold was, he would sell, and then he would tell my mom, now it's your problem. You need to go buy another piece of equipment. Like, he wanted nothing to do with that. And I'm not that person. Like, I am my own person. I am, and I can, it's okay to be a little bit of both of them. And so I think once I realized that, that's when it changed. Like, I don't have to be one or the other. I'm Samara, and this is how I would like to lead the company, with a little bit of my mom and a little bit of my father.
Well said. I like that. So if we look out to the future, let's just say Accurate Box 40 years from now,
Oh boy.
and let's just say that one of your young ones might be looking to take the path you took,
Yeah.
that your mom and dad took, that your grandfather took. What do you think that next generation might have to do or think or act differently? How do you think what kind of world do you think they're going to be coming into
Dear.
when you cast out into the
Well, just
future?
so you know, my 5-year-old does say she would like to sell boxes, but she also would like to be a unicorn when she grows up. So unclear, which path she'll take, but she does love coming to see the business. But with how could I not talk about AI? I mean, that is, ever changing and something that we are very focused on as a company. And in addition to that, we have heavily invested in robotics. And I actually sit on an advisory board for a robotics company that we work with. And today we have three pretty major robots in our production, and one more on the way. And I see that continuing to grow. So, 40 years from now, I mean, who knows?
40 years from now, as a 120 plus year company, one could argue that you will be something of a unicorn.
Yes,
not
oh,
many
that's
make
true.
it to that.
I would say we're a little bit of a unicorn now.
Perhaps, yes. I would say so too. At 83, that's not bad. So, if we look more near term, and we talked a little bit about what the journey ahead looks like in terms of ultimately making a transition and a formal succession over the next 3 to 5 year horizon. What's exciting you right now, Samara? What's exciting you in the industry or in the business? What's lighting you up right now?
So I just bought my first piece of equipment
okay.
that I signed my name on. That is all on me.
Okay.
And what is exciting me about it is that it is actually bringing us into being able to offer to our customers two-sided high graphic printing capabilities. And this was a project that we spent over 5 years looking into and developing and trying to figure out, okay, what is the best avenue for us to accomplish this? Because we wanted to bring it all in-house. And that has finally come to fruition. We just installed the machine about a month and a half ago and have already started running orders on it. So,
oh, so you're already commercially
we are up and
running,
running.
Commercially operational.
Yes.
Wow.
So, so that's exciting. And we feel like this could bring us into some new markets and industries that we are not currently in today. So that is what is exciting me today, and just the future. I think going back to us being, an independent company, we do not, we're very flexible. We don't make our own paper, so we can buy paper from anywhere, and that helps us again remain competitive. And so remaining family owned and women owned, is a big deal, and a big deal actually to our customers. A lot of them do track the minority diversity spend, and so they're happy that that's going to continue by partnering with us.
Awesome. Awesome. And we already know that you've got a future next gen CEO
yes.
/ unicorn,
yes.
poised to take the reins when you decide it's time or not.
I hope so. She changes her mind daily, but she
That's
did tell
okay.
me she would sell boxes. So,
well, a few years before I took over here, I am on record telling a dear friend of mine, as I was stepping up to receive my diploma, I'll be darned if I go to work for my old man.
And here you are.
A few months later, I'm turning down a job to come to join D'Elia Associates. And that was about 31 years ago. So,
that's funny.
So be it. Last question for you.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners wanted to connect to learn more about you, more about Accurate Box, what's the best way for them to reach out?
So we are not shy about sharing information on our website. We put a lot of information on there. So our website is www.accuratebox.com. And through there, you could also, send in an inquiry that does come directly to myself and our marketing team, but also our company LinkedIn page, which we are, constantly looking at. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, family businesses survive across generations, certainly not by standing still, but by evolving, while protecting what they've made them strong, what's made them strong in the first place, and continuing to move forward. Samara, it's exciting to see the fourth generation stepping forward with that responsibility in you. Again,
Thank
we've
you.
been speaking with Samara Ronkowitz of Accurate Box, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. And this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I
Thank you.
appreciated the time. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.deleanet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.